You are listening to a sermon by Gary Jensen, recorded on Sunday, October 19th, 2025, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Amen. Well, I was well prepared to preach from the lectionary, but Paul gave me the freedom to choose a favorite. So I got to choose my favorite, one of my favorite passages, which is a piece I've learned over many years of ministry to love, just to be a person to love. So I bring greetings in the name of Jesus. I'm thankful for the invitation to speak. I think we figured out, I was talking with Evan maybe, that maybe it averages out to be once a year or something like that, that I've been able to be here, which is pretty cool. And it is wonderful to be with you. So my question today, to start off at least, is what do you hope for the church? I want to just suggest some of the hopes I have for the church. I hope that our relationships are genuine. I hope that we believe the best of each other. I hope to find agreement on things that matter. I hope that we would be willing to listen to each other and to understand each other so that we can know and appreciate each other. I hope that we would become learners of God's word. I hope that we are longing to know Jesus better. I hope that for a church that lives by Jesus' teachings, that we would care for the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and the stranger. I hope that we would be in good relationships with our neighbors. I hope that we would be connected with other congregations in MCBC. And I hope that we would participate in MCBC and MC Canada and the global Mennonite church as we are able to do so. To be this kind of a church, love must lead the way. Love for Jesus, love for each other, love for our neighbor, and love for God's creation. Because God is love, whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. Thankful to Kevin for the reading of the scripture passage, so I won't read it here again, and I'll just step right into it. Love is mentioned in 1 John, the letter 1 John, 28 times. And in our passage that Kevin read earlier, it is mentioned 13 times. And there are two major sections to this text. So it's 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21. So if you're wanting to follow along in the Bible, I'll be walking through some highlights of these verses. So it's two sections. The first one, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11, is the source and purpose of love. So verses 7 and 8, John points to God as the source of love. And he declares that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, which is just, it's just kind of interesting to ponder that. Everyone who loves knows God and is born of God. The line simply encourages love within fellowship since love is from God. And the opposite is also true. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because, of course, God is love. And then verse 9, 1 John 4, verse 9, he also argues that Jesus coming into the world reveals God's love for us, that we might live through him. And that we might love as God loves. God's Son was sent as a result of God's love, in order that humanity might have life through Christ and be born of God. And then moving into verses 10 and 11, it says, this is love. So my ears perk, you know. This is love, that God sent Jesus as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. This love ought to encourage us to love one another just as God has loved us. This love should naturally manifest itself within the fellowship of our church, the community. The second section of this passage, verses 12 to 19, are just speaking of some realities related to the theme of love. So verses 12 through 16, in this spirit, it is the spirit that keeps the believer connected to God. So we have the Trinity happening here, right? We have God, we have the Son, and now we have the Spirit is the one who connects us and keeps us connected to God. So verse 12, while we have not seen God, if we love one another, God lives in us and God's love is made complete in us. In other words, when believers love one another, God's love is evident. Therefore, God's love can be seen in the midst of human interactions. I'll stop to ponder on these things a lot, so I'm not going to stop a lot in the passage, but keep pondering on these deep thoughts and encouraging thoughts. I'll just read the last one again. Therefore, God's love can be seen in the midst of human interactions. I might just throw in the question, is this true for us? You know, and we have to reflect, you know, maybe sometimes it's not, that God's love isn't seen in some of our interactions. But as we walk with God and in God's love, this is in fact true, that God's love is seen in the midst. And I think people look, you know, they're watching, right? People are watching what these people who call themselves followers of Jesus are actually on about. And when they see the true Jesus through us and through our love, it impacts them in amazing and powerful ways. Verse 13, we know this because God has given us his Spirit. Verses 14 through 16, we have seen the Son of God, sent to be the Savior of the world. When we acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God, God lives in us and then we live in God. So then we totally rely on the love that God has for us. And then verses 17 through 18, God is love. So that's the self-defining definition of God, that God is love. And if we read that in the context, sorry, I'm going a little off script if you're following back there. I'll get back, don't worry. That if we look through the whole Bible with the lens that God is love, and we look at everything going on in the Old Testament and all of that, keeping this lens in place, I think we do well. We do well. But sometimes this very essence of these three words right here get lost. And they can't, if they don't get lost, then we can read everything in Scripture with this lens on. God is love. The Spirit empowers the believer to love, resulting in confidence in the light of love that we embody. And then verse 17, in this world, we are like Jesus. There again, you know, just a powerful whoa. In this world, we are like Jesus. The love that church community expresses is the divine love that Christ expressed on earth. Take confidence in that. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. I think that's a really powerful passage thought for our time. There's no fear in love. I'll just do a little sidetrack here again. So as you may remember, Gerda was the representative for MCBC on the AMBS board, Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary in Elkhart, Indiana. And so I've been asked to do that since, following in Gerda's footsteps, not in a very different way. You know, there's an academic way and there's a pastoral way. And I'm taking it more on the pastoral level. But when I talk with David Boschert, the president of AMBS, and the other faculty and staff and other U.S. board members, there's fear. There is fear in what's coming next from the government. There's fear. There's concern. But a passage like this, that there is no fear in love, is cherished. And knowing that, you know, we just keep trucking on. We just keep carrying on and being God's people, being a seminary based in Elkhart, Indiana, but has a global impact that's growing. And yet at the same time, a government that is scrutinizing everything. So that sense, can we keep doing what we value? Can we keep being the people who we value, that we are the people who were talked about in this passage, this kind of people? And we say yes, because there is no fear. There is no fear in love. Where was I? our complete confidence will be because we have embraced Christ's love, and that our church community lives in Christ's love. This love drives out fear. Fear is a drawing into ourselves, a withdrawal that keeps us at a distance from each other, whereas love in its very nature is focused outward and cares about others. Fear is a drawing into ourselves. Love is an outward expression. We love because God loved us first. It is this understanding that holds this whole scripture together, that God is the initiator. Verses 20 and 21, our last verses of this section, what does loving God look like? And what does loving God not look like? Saying, I love God, but hating the people around us does not point to the love of God. Since we cannot see God, the only concrete picture of our love for God is the love we display with others. Belief in Jesus as the divine and human Son of God is directly connected to loving one another. Love and belief are a single, two-sided response to God sending Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. So we as Anabaptists believe that faith must be lived out concretely in love, and that our love is grounded in what we believe. So to conclude, ask the question, how do we love each other in the way that we are loved by God? Let us be a people of reconciliation. As we know from Palmer Becker's writings, it says Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our lives. Reconciliation is the center of our work. Let's be a people of reconciliation. If you know and have broken relationship with someone in the church, go to them to mend that relationship. This is directly connected to Matthew 18, first verse, Matthew 18, 15, which says, if a brother or sister sins against you, go to them and make it right and talk to them about it. And then there's a whole pattern following that as to, if that doesn't go well, what do you do next? Let us love others first. Don't just respond to the kindness of others, but be kind to them first. How do we love our neighbors? I just want to read a very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:14 to 20, I believe it is. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live to themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his people through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God and to one another. I'll just add that. That's not in the scripture text. My phone somehow sent me to the beginning of my message. I have to get back. We are called to be representatives of Christ. Interestingly, this is again off script a little bit, but this sermon was first written for, I'm going to Thailand and Vietnam end of this month, and I'll be preaching at a church in Saigon, a young pastor that's in the leadership of Evangelical Mennonite Church Vietnam. And I wrote this sermon first for them, you know, and I know that I have to avoid using words in Vietnam like ambassadors, because it has a political tone to it. So I while the scripture uses the word ambassador, I've in my sermon, I changed it to representative, and truly the same idea, but without the political tone to it. We are called to be Christ's representatives. The church is the family of God, and we, the members of the church, are called to represent the love of Christ wherever we go. At our place of work, work hard and be honest. At school, don't cheat. We help our neighbors where we live when they need help. As people see us living with integrity and loving others, they may see the good in our way of living, and they may want to have the power to be this way also. Then we can invite them to follow Jesus and to also live according to the love of Jesus. Let us be building bridges of reconciliation rather than walls of division. A bridge is something that we can walk across to be with other people, and they can also walk across to be with us, and we can walk across the bridge together. A wall keeps people out of our lives. Jesus is in the business of breaking down dividing walls with his love. Let us be like Jesus also, bringing down walls that divide people. May we be a people where love leads the way in all of our activities. Menno Simons said, "Love is the total content of Scripture. The Bible is the story of God's love for the world. Jesus came to show how God loves the world by his own life on earth. I invite us all to walk in the love of Jesus, to walk together in God's love. I invite you to look at your own circumstances of life and see how love can guide you in all that you do. And let us invite our neighbors to join us on this pathway, walking in the love of Jesus."